We are walking with Daniel. As you know, we are emphasizing the journey of Daniel in our Sunday school. They are now experiencing Babylon down in the Sunday school wing. And we are trying to tie in our worship service here in the sanctuary with what is going on in an intergenerational way. So our scripture reading to that end is from the Old Testament book of Daniel. I am sharing with you chapter 2, verses 17 to 24. Just to pick up where we are, we know that Daniel and his friends are in Babylon. We know his friends as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and yet they go by other names at this point in the story. Daniel is in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar has had this dream, and he says, I need somebody to tell me what my dream was and to interpret my dream. And all of those prophets and sages and wise people, if you cannot tell me what my dream was and interpret my dream for me, I am going to say you have to be killed. So this is the danger that Daniel is facing, and yet Daniel is the chosen one who not only is able to share the dream of the king as well as interpret the king, and he shows trust in God through this experience. So that is the background of where we pick up for today. Then Daniel went to his home and informed his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions with the rest of the wise men of Babylon might not perish. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, Blessed be the name of God from age to age, for wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons, deposes kings and sets up kings, gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my ancestors, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power and have revealed to me what we asked of you, for you have revealed to us what the king ordered. Therefore, Daniel went to Ararat, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will give the king the interpretation. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you, like me, happen to hear about this. A little over a week ago, it came out that the U.S. Consumer Protection and Safety Commission had a word for all of us. Yes, Indeed. Shocking word. Word for all ages, young and old. And because we are, you know, just trying to do this drive towards intergenerational ministry here at Wilson Memorial, I thought I needed to share this fact with you. Are you ready? So, according to the U.S. Consumer and Protection or Consumer Product and Safety Commission, there's a hazard out there that is just now coming to light. The report came out that in 2017, there were 2,300 emergency room visits, and the cause was pizza. Pizza. The cause was pizza. Apparently, pizza is a hazard. You can burn your mouth because you heat a slice or you eat a slice of pizza that is just too hot because of the cheese on it. You can burn your hand because you take pizza out of the oven in a way that you shouldn't. You could fall if you're delivering pizza. There are many people that fell delivering pizza. I remember just the other day, I was on the overpass going into North Plainville. I was coming home from church, and I saw this poor pizza delivery man stop because he had hit the car in front of him. And I thought, oh, felt so badly for him. Well, maybe he's one of the statistics I'm talking about. You can, in fact, cut yourself when you cut a slice of pizza. And then here is the thing we all need to be aware of. There's the age-old problem of falling out of bed while reaching for a leftover slice. So what can you count on anymore, right? For so long, everyone has thought of pizza as the perfect food. I mean, you can have all the food groups on it, meat, vegetables, you have dairy, cheese, you have bread. It is in one nice pyramid slice. And so you can think of it as a pyramid, a food pyramid, ready for you right there. When I first heard about the pizza panic, I wondered if somebody was going to start putting warning labels on pizza boxes. Beware. Proceed with care, right? I mean, we all know about McDonald's and the coffee cups that have the word of caution on them. Caution. Coffee or contents is extremely hot. Warning labels are all over the place. There's an iron company that put a warning label on the box of the irons that they sold, and the warning label said, caution, do not iron clothes on body. Good to know. But what about the baby stroller? The baby stroller that had a warning label on it that said, caution, remove baby before folding up stroller. Good to know, right? All kidding aside, we think about the risks of pizza and anything else, and then we have to be, you know, incredibly honest. The truth of the matter is life is chock full of unexpected dangers, unexpected risks, danger that can just greet you at a moment's notice. The issue with pizza may be new news, but the issue of unexpected danger, dangers that could come right out at you out of the blue, that's really old news. A few days ago, right after finishing up the bulletin, typing it up, I was sitting at the desk in the main office and proofreading it, and then Karen was there, and she looked down at her phone, and all of a sudden I saw that she was just sitting there in stunned silence. And so I gave her a minute, and she looked up, and she said, I can't believe this. And I said, what's wrong? What did you read? And she said, I just got a text that my cousin just died. My cousin apparently had a brain tumor. I didn't even know he was sick. She said, you never know. Wow, stuff happens out of the blue. And I was just thinking about how that fit the title of your sermon. Who among us can say we haven't experienced the same kind of thing time and time and time again? When we come to the Bible, and the old stories and the old figures in the Bible, we know that we can relate to them on a very human level, and I hope that feels somewhat comforting, you know? I mean, we aren't the only ones who have experienced danger just coming at us unexpectedly like unwelcome visitor. Thank you very much. When was the last time you were hit with bad news? Lousy news, awful news, life-changing news. You were simply going about your business, maybe planning what you were going to have for dinner or sitting down to watch the Yankees game, and then boom. I think about those folks this past week in the Boston area. They're at work, doing what they do day in, day out. All of a sudden, they hear that their house has blown up. Can you imagine? Our connection with the Old Testament figure of Daniel absolutely comes at this very human level. Time and time again, he faced danger just coming at him in an unexpected way. But our connection with Daniel at a very human level also comes in another way, right? Daniel also experienced life-sustaining, life-changing help from a strength that came from far beyond himself, from a place that came from far beyond himself. And he never really saw that coming either. So here on the one hand, we have someone so unsuspecting being hit point blank in a way he didn't see coming. And then on the other hand, he is also hit with divine grace, empowering grace, in a way he didn't see coming either. And that is what it is also like to be a human being. And so we connect with Daniel on that level as well. So Daniel and his friends there in Babylon, they're at the mercy of the king Nebuchadnezzar. And he puts out this death warrant, basically. Death warrant to all the prophetic types, all the sages, all the seers around him. And he says to them, you know, if you cannot tell me the content of this crazy dream that I just had and also interpret the dream, your life is over. Can you imagine? And King Nebuchadnezzar includes Daniel in that group. It's a setup. It's a setup we can imagine for failure. Daniel, in this time of distress, in this time of terror, suddenly receives divine wisdom. It just seems to come to him in an unexpected way. And then this Daniel is able to serve the king because he's the one that knows where all wisdom and strength lie. And Daniel interprets the king's dream, and Daniel tells the king about all the kingdoms to come and God's ultimate kingdom to rule. So this morning, I'd like for you to think about how it is for you when unexpected hazards just come your way. And what is your first impulse? Is your first impulse to say, okay, I am going to rely on my God to give me strength to get through this? Or is your first impulse more of a default perspective? Do you say panic? Because that's the default inside of us. We know that we have what they call that reptilian brain still within us, that reptilian brain that causes us to be reactive, that causes us to react to danger. Remember the fight, flight, or freeze idea, because we needed that to survive as people in the world when there were dangers all around us, and we inherit that from our ancestors. You know what panic can be a great acronym for? People are not in control. Panic. People are not in control. It fits, right? When we panic, we're not in control of how we feel. When we panic, though, maybe we could go the next step and realize we just are not in control in general. Stuff's so big. And at another level, we can relate to Daniel on this. Daniel knew that he was not in control. The whims of King Nebuchadnezzar, that's what he had to face. So there's certainly a better way than panic. When we really get into Daniel's story, Daniel relied, as I said, on help and strength that came far beyond himself. He clearly was empowered in ways he never could have imagined. And most of all, he opened himself up. He opened himself up to be a willing servant of his God within the circumstances that he found himself in, circumstances that were far from rosy. By doing so, he became God's instrument in the face of distress. He became God's instrument in the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar. This past week, we were all in the same boat, in a sense, as we were recognizing the horrible tragedy of 9/11. You know, last Tuesday, we were just taken back to that day 17 years ago now. It's hard to imagine. 17 years have gone by. And we were taken back because things still feel raw. There's all those memories. There's all the remembrance of the prayers that we have said throughout the year. One of the things I did was take time to read some accounts of people. And I came across this really beautiful one I want to share with you. Michelle Cruz Rosado is her name. She's actually a survivor. She was working that terrible, fateful day in Tower 2. She got out. Within a week after the tragedy, she was at the doctor's office because she found that she was spitting up blood. Actual pieces of glass had gotten into her lungs. But today, she is okay health-wise. And Michelle talks about how difficult it was to come to grips with her survivor's guilt. Can you imagine all the people that have had survivor's guilt? Why is it that I was able to escape and so many lost their lives? She says she was just consumed with the survivor's guilt. And it happened one day, she was passing a neighborhood church. We think church is not relevant? Well, think again. She was passing this church, which she and her mother had attended years ago. It happened to be a Roman Catholic church. And for some reason, out of the blue, she was pulled inside the church. And she went in and she says, you know, it was kind of quiet in a way that she didn't expect. The silence there was a little deafening, even though there were people around her. And she had this impulse to flee, right? To just run out. And yet she stayed. Something in her made her stay. And she says that she slowly made her way up to the front of the church, and there was a statue there, and she found herself kneeling at the bottom of the statue. And she says she looked up, and her hands were clasped, and her hands started to just shake. And she said a prayer. This prayer was this: God, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why you let all those people die so tragically, and my life is continuing. There's no reason that I can come up with. But please, please embrace those who have lost family and friends, and let them know that you are there for them. And she says, I sat in the presence of God and felt his love surrounding me. I didn't know what was to become of my life or what my next step would be, but I knew in my heart that there was still work to be done. And as I got up, she says, I heard a faint voice through my consciousness. You do have a purpose. She says, I felt an immediate sense of calm as I walked out of the church. I learned day by day to heal from the horror that I had faced. After years of searching, I came to understand my true purpose in this world, to be a voice of those who to this day are still grieving from the tragedy. And I learned my purpose was to live and give and express my utmost gratitude for life itself. Stuff hits us. It can come from any and all directions. God's servant Daniel, he knew that too. And yet remember that empowering grace that he found, that empowering grace that comes from the one that is all strength, all wisdom, all mercy, and all love. May we listen for it. May we have ears to hear. May we embrace it with courage and with hope. Amen. Let us pray. Ever-living God, help us in our time of need. Let us never take for granted the life that we have, for we know it is fragile and precious, and we also know that you are in our every need in ways that we may not even see, in ways that we may not even hear with our ears. Be with us as we look to you for strength and hope and an abiding, sustaining love, even when all seems lost, when all seems to come at us out of the blue. May we know in a continued way that we truly are your servants and your gift to others. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.